And I don't know about you, but, you know, I kind of still feel like I have a hangover from what happened in Charlottesville. So I thought what I would do is kind of continue, have today's talk be kind of a continuation of what we talked about last week. And so last week we talked about that in times of chaos and turmoil that we are being called to stand for and to stand in and to stand as love and unity and connectedness and oneness. And we also talked about that as awakened spiritual beings that are walking this spiritual path, we are being called to be the change we wish to see in the world through our consciousness and through our words and through our actions. And so Ken Gordon, who is the spiritual leader of the entire organization of Centers for Spiritual Living, said this week. He says, the world gives us the opportunity to be angry, to hate, to be in fear, and it also gives us the opportunity to love. When things happen in the world, like what happened in Charlottesville and the other chaos and what things that are going on across this country, it is absolutely a call to rise above the circumstances and instead to return to our spiritual understanding, to return to that which we know at the very depths of who we are. It is a call to see through spiritual eyes and to go deeper than what's going on in the world. And so Ken Gordon also says that when we experience conflict, it is spirit itself holding our hand and walking us into the evolution of a new type of living, a new type of being, and a new type of loving. And so this call is the thing that evolves us into our next level of being and loving and living in a way that we hadn't before. It's a call to do that and to be that. And so when events happen, like what happened in Charlottesville and what has gone on across this country, it is a call to move into a deeper spiritual understanding, to move into a deeper understanding, for instance, that light always wins over darkness. Like the fact that hate and ignorance cannot win. Like the fact that love is the healing power that acts as a healing balm in this world. Like the fact that love is the very essence of that whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. And that love is what we come from. That love is what we all come from. That love is the very essence of what we are. It's what we've made, what we're made of. And so someone sent me, it was actually posted on Facebook, and someone forwarded it to me last weekend that I'd like to share with you. And it was about what happened last week. And it says, here's what I learned about America over the weekend. After 6 months of organization and promotion, quote, the largest white supremacist gathering in decades drew only several hundred sick puppies from across the country on Saturday. Several hundred. And on Sunday, 52 million Americans went to church, where everyone was welcomed and we all drink from the same cup. 62 million Americans volunteer in any given year, and 83% of American adults give to charity. 145 million Americans went to work today, where people of every race, gender, ethnicity, religious belief, orientation, and ability get along just fine. America is not those few hundred who hate. It is the tens of millions who don't. Let's keep our perspective. It's so easy to lose that perspective. The media would have us lose that perspective and think that it's the whole nation, it's the whole world that's crazy. And so the title of my talk today is Lighting the Way. And I'm talking about the fact that we in this room and we who love are leading us into the future. We in this room are leading us into a future where we are all equal. We are leading us into a future where everyone is treated fairly. We are leading us into a future where compassion and care is the natural reaction that people have. We are leading us into a future where love is the guiding force in our lives. And so I'd actually like to begin the subject of my talk today with something that Deepak Chopra shares with us. He says, this is really important, everyone is acting from their own level of consciousness. This is all we can ask of ourselves. However hurtful someone is, they are doing the best they can given the limits of their consciousness. That means then to me that everyone is acting out of their beliefs, whether those conscious beliefs or subconscious beliefs. Everyone is acting out of what they fill their minds with, what they watch and what they listen to and what they hear and who they hang out with. Do you not act out of what you're filling your mind with? Does that not become the cause of how you behave and what you think about and what you talk about and what you do? Everyone is acting out of what they believe to be true about themselves and what they believe to be true about the world and what they believe to be true about life. That's where everyone's coming from, and we all have a different perspective, and we all have limited beliefs, and we all have wounding from our childhood, and we all have things that we believe that aren't really true, and you know that. And so what that says to me is when someone is acting out of racism or sexism or ageism or whatever those isms are, or when someone is acting out of ignorance, or when someone is acting out of not having any concern, say, for the environment, they are acting out of their current level of consciousness, their current understanding of the world and of themselves and of life. And when someone's acting out of kindness and care and compassion, they are acting out of their level of consciousness, their understanding of life and the world and who they are. And so I have a hairdressing client who is driving for Uber right now. And she picked someone up a couple weeks ago from Beverly Hills that had her take her to the jewelry mart in LA because she was going to have, what do you call it when you get comps on jewelry? They tell you the value of the jewelry. She had a bunch of jewelry that was her great aunt's that she had had in her possession when she was on the Titanic. And when the Titanic was going down, they told people to collect their stuff. She collected most of her jewelry, not all of it, but some of it, and this was that jewelry. And so clearly her great aunt is no longer alive, but she was taking this jewelry to the jewelry mart to get an estimated value on it. And so she dropped her off in front of the jewelry mart, and she took off, and she said she always makes a habit of kind of looking in the back of her car to make sure there's no trash and empty cups and stuff when people leave before she goes to pick up her next ride. And she looks back there, and there's a necklace sitting on the seat. And so she calls Uber and has them call the woman and tell her, you left a necklace in her car. They told her where to meet the woman. She drove back around the block and went over, and the woman was waiting out front of the business, and she gave her back the necklace. And the woman was so grateful and offered to give her money for her returning this. And she said, no, you don't need to give me any money. She was acting out of her level of consciousness that doing what's right is more important than money, that I don't need to be paid to do what's right. She was acting out of a level of consciousness that said integrity is the most important thing. Honesty, whatever all of her beliefs are about herself and life, she was acting out of all of those. And so about 4 days later, she gets a phone call from her boss at work that asks her to come in, and she thinks, oh no, what have I done? I'm in trouble now. And she goes into the office. The woman has called and put on her credit card a $500 tip for her. Wow. Is that awesome? But she was just acting out of her level of consciousness. But what happens when we see people doing things in the world that are hurtful, or that we do not like, that we don't agree with, we get into huge judgment about them, we make them wrong, we get angry, we get irate, we get whatever those feelings are, they get stirred up in us. But let me ask you this. If, say, you were in a restaurant having dinner, And there was a couple at the next table who had a 2-year-old with them. And the 2-year-old started crying. And the parents had not brought anything to entertain or distract the 2-year-old. But instead, they just expected that 2-year-old to sit still and be quiet for more than, say, 10 minutes. Would you get mad at the 2-year-old? Of course not. The 2-year-old is acting out of their level of consciousness. They're acting out of the tools and the skills that they've developed. Well, you know what? When the same thing happens, when someone's acting out of ignorance or acting out of prejudice, they're acting out of what they believe to be true about the world. They're acting out of fear and out of scarcity and out of thinking someone's going to take what is theirs, that there isn't enough. There's a million beliefs that they're acting out of. And when I recognize that, that they're acting out of a current belief system, what happens is it gives me a level of compassion for them. It gives me some level of compassion even for the white supremacist, because I have an understanding of what's going on inside of them to make them do what they're doing. And that doesn't mean that we, any of us, approve of their actions. It doesn't mean that I agree with their actions. But that understanding, that little bit of understanding that they're coming out of a belief system, out of consciousness, their level of consciousness, they can't do anything but come out of their level of consciousness of where it is at that moment, gives me some level of compassion. But what that says to me also is that if we want to be a catalyst for good in this world, we have to have a consciousness that good comes out of. We have to develop a consciousness that good comes out of all of the time. I want to live in a country that is harmonious and peaceful. Raise your hand if you want to live in a country that's harmonious and peaceful. Do you want to live in a country where people care about each other? Do you want to live in a country where people live with a sense of brotherhood and sisterhood? Do you want to live in a country where kindness is the norm? Live in a world of unity and compassion and love? That's the world I want to live in. All of those things take spiritual practice in order to come from that place. And all of those things are a spiritual practice. Treating everybody as equals and loving people regardless of who they are. Being kind, coming from a place of care, all of those are spiritual practices as well. The problem is, for all of us, is so often we get hooked into the representation of the media of how awful things are. Have you noticed? That's like 95% of what the media puts out there, how awful things are. Whether you open up your feed on your phone when you log on to the internet, or you watch the news on TV, or you open Facebook, it's all this, what is the most awful thing that's going on? And so I call the news the hour of doom and gloom. I won't watch the news for the most part, because all they do is talk about the most horrific things that have gone on in the world. The news really used to be about informing people so that they were informed. That is not the job of the news anymore. The job of the news is to get high ratings. And how they get high ratings is by hooking you in. And so what they tell us then is the scariest thing, or the most threatening thing, or the thing that causes the greatest emotional reaction, because that hooks us in and makes us want to come back. We want to come back in order to stay safe. We want to come back even in order just because it's exciting. If you're really honest with yourself, do you ever go back and read that stuff, the articles that you like to read, because it has a little bit more excitement than what's going on in your life? I think sometimes we do that just because it's like more energetic. There's more vibration going in. It's a little bit exciting. So we hook ourselves in. We keep going back in. But I think it's really important to realize that regardless of if you listen to news that's on the left or on the right, it's a distorted picture. It's all a distorted picture. Every single one of those news outlets has an agenda. It's not neutral. That agenda is to hook you in and have you come back. That's what they're doing. And so the result is then that the media informs our consciousness. It forms our consciousness. It creates the environment that we're living out of, and that creates how we come to the world. So I think we have two choices. We can let the media inform our consciousness, or we can go deeper. We can go deeper and remember who we are and let that inform our consciousness and how we act in the world. We can remember that we are incarnations of the love of the divine here in form. That's what we're up to. That's what we've come here to do. We can remember that there is one presence of absolute love intelligence that is present everywhere, in every moment, in everything that we do. We can remember that even if we can't see it in this moment, that infinite presence of love intelligence is present in every single person. There is only one power. There is no power for evil. There is no power for ignorance. There is one power. That one power is the presence of the infinite, that thing we call God, or whatever name you choose to call it. That infinite love intelligence is the power of the universe. And when we remember that that is the truth, when we go deep and we sit in that, what happens is it shifts our consciousness. It takes us from fear to peace. It takes us from anger to compassion. It takes us from feeling impotent to being a place of change, a catalyst for change, a catalyst for bringing good into the world. It takes us from judgment to love. And when we remember that that infinite presence is at the center of every person, what happens is it calls it forth in them. What happens is it stirs it in them. It awakens it in them. Do you have anyone in your life, anybody that you're ever around, and they make you feel really good about yourself? It's because of the way they see you. That stirs that in you and allows you to bring it forward easier. That's what happens when you see that presence in other people. It calls it forward in them. It stirs it. It helps them awaken to it. And so I have a question. Actually, I don't. That was the question. It's about the way they see you. So when we see God in another person, that gets stirred in them and awakened in them. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says something, and it's really important. He says, to desert the truth with a capital T, to desert the truth in the hour of need is to prove that we do not know the truth. To desert the truth with a capital T in the hour of need is to prove that we do not know the truth. When we can't see God in a situation, that is the time to remember. That is the time to affirm to yourself that God is in the midst of this. When you can't see God in another person, that is the time to affirm that presence of love and infinite intelligence is present in them. It's the core of who they are. When we can't see it, that's the time to go deep and to find in ourselves the place that knows. That's the time to do whatever it is that you need to do to help you remember. Whether that's read the writings of inspired spiritual masters, or to do affirmative prayer, or to meditate, or to call a practitioner, or to sit with a practitioner and have them pray with you. It's the time to do whatever you need to do to remember the truth that you've forgotten in that moment. And so I invite you right now to join me in a meditation. to help us remember. And so I invite you to become still, to close your eyes and to turn within, and to just allow yourself to become still. And to become aware of that place deep within you where there is perfect stillness. Here lies the part of you that is beyond personality, that is beyond ego, that is beyond receiving its identity from the outside world. As we let go of this outer identification, our true nature reveals itself. In this silence, we awaken to the part of us that is love. Love. Unconditional. We awaken to the part of us that is peace. Peace without any attachment to circumstances. The part of us that is whole, that can never be injured. For this is the part of us that is the divine, spirit itself. And as we identify with this essence of the divine, this one presence, as we identify with it, all seeming injury falls away. In this oneness, there is no judgment. There is only love. There is only peace. We can choose to live from this place of oneness, this place of love and innocence. It only takes our willingness and a pure desire. Our ego always strives for separation, which includes judgment and fear. Spirit within always beckons us to know oneness and love. As we commune with this unconditional love, it becomes immediate, available. Here we live in openness and in compassion. Here love permeates our consciousness. It permeates our conscious and subconscious mind. Love permeates our bodies. And becomes the energetic field that we walk in and move in and live in. This consciousness, this oneness, this love gives us a new way of living and a new way of being and a new way of loving. And so I invite you to release the meditation and to bring your awareness back to this room, to the seat you're sitting in, and to the air on your skin, and become present here. And so our job is to raise our consciousness above the level of effect, to be cause to something new in the world, to be cause to what we wish to experience and see in this world. Our job is to know the truth that the Infinite One is present here, because that magnifies it. That stirs it. That law of attraction brings that forward into our lives when we live from that place. Our job is to raise our consciousness to know that love is the answer. Love is what we're seeking in this world. And to know that spirit is present here in this moment and every moment. And then you develop that consciousness. Your job is to live and act from that place. That elevates the whole. And so go deep and practice regularly and be the love that spirit is, and act as the love that is truly who you are. And so blessings to you on this path of awakening and of remembering and of being this presence of magnificence and healing in this world. I thank you, and blessings to you on this path. Pray first. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we just right in this moment answer that call that is within every single one of our hearts and souls to commune with that presence. To remember, yes, indeed, that Infinite One is right here where we are, closer than breath and nearer than hands and feet. That Infinite One that indwells us and surrounds us and fills all of time and space with its beingness, that fills everyone and everything. For there is no spot where God is not. And it is in our recognition of it and in our calling it forth that it is activated in an even greater way. And so today we call forth and see and witness love everywhere. We call forth and witness and see equality and sharing and open hearts and open hands and open minds and willingness to move into a world that works for everyone. For this is the call of our own spirit. This is the call of our own divinity to be the light and to share the light, to stand in the light and to recognize the light all around us, thereby calling it forward. And so what a blessing it is to be walking this path and to be living in this awareness and to have this power, the power of thought, the power of the spoken word, claiming it and owning it and standing in it and living it. And so I do indeed see love everywhere present. I do indeed see healing of injury and healing of false beliefs and healing of a sense of separation, healing of ideas of lack and limitation, healing of physical bodies, healing of broken hearts. For this is the activity of that one unfolding itself everywhere around us. And so today I celebrate that. Today, I rest in that. And I say thank you, God, for your activity in this world. And so I release this prayer into the infinite law of being, the law of the universe, knowing that this is the creative womb that everything comes out of. I release this word into that law. And I simply rest in trust and in faith and in confidence, and in gratitude. And I say, and so it is.